everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
Welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast designed to encourage preachers to incorporate multiple intelligences into sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for the 12th week of Ordinary Time, or Proper 7, or Pentecost Plus 5. This has been a really challenging week, not only because of the lectionary, but events in the world. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. We've got some illustrations and special effects for you, but also a few thoughts and prayers. So join us on the journey, won't you?
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Any time and any way we make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God, so they can acquire it and process it and internalize it in ways that make sense to them.
We have a few thoughts about something that has happened earlier this week. Mark Twain is credited with saying, "To a man with a hammer, everything looks like a nail." And to a preacher the week after a mass shooting, everything looks like bullets. We've really struggled this week with how to present these texts in the light of the horrendous violence perpetrated in Orlando. We can't assume where your sermon will go, but we kept coming back to what would lead someone to such inhuman behavior. The 1 Kings passage tells us about what happens to Elijah after he killed 450 priests of Baal. Looking closely, nothing says that it was God's idea for him to do that. The Galatians passage tells us that there is no distinction of gender, ethnicity, religion, or class in Christ. So why do we keep dividing ourselves into us and them? The Luke passage tells us about Jesus' encounter with a man who had a legion of demons that drove him mad and made him both strong and violent. Could Jesus have cast out the Orlando shooter's demons?
Ordinarily, we come to the text with some sense of wonder, creativity, and even whimsy as we prepare our illustrations and special effects. This week, though, we come with heavy hearts, trying not to give in to despair or cynicism, but trusting that God goes with us through the valley of the shadows. Our offerings this episode may be a little thin. Nevertheless, we encourage you to find and proclaim the good news of Christ in these texts. We're still working together to proclaim the love and grace of God and to build a world that reflects the reign of Christ, even and especially in the face of continued tragic rejection of love, grace, and humanity.
As you prepare for worship this Sunday, we would like to offer a prayer for you, the ones tasked with bringing the Word of God. So please join us as we pray.
Almighty God, you created this world and called it good, and for the most part we trust that. But there are times when the goodness is damaged, and we are left wondering what we can possibly say. Naturally, we pray for the victims of violence and all those who have been affected by this and other terrible deeds. But in particular, we pray for you to be with the preachers, teachers, and worship leaders coming before you this weekend after such terrible loss. Give us all the capacity to listen to your word, to receive it for our own healing, and then share it with others who grieve and wonder. May we be instruments of your peace and wholeness. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. The Old Testament lesson for the 12th week of Ordinary Time, Year C, is 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 4, and 8 to 15a, with the 5 through 7 parenthetically, or, you know, just
do the whole thing.
1 to 15a. How about that? So, this is the story that comes right after the contest with the prophets of Baal from 3 weeks ago. For whatever reason, the lectionary moves things around, probably to line up with the gospel lessons, but this comes right on the heels of that story. So, we'll be calling back to that. So, it starts off with Ahab telling Jezebel what Elijah has done, and the little part in between that we didn't read that week, which was that Elijah had the 450 right. prophets of Baal rounded up in the valley at the foot of the mountain, and he slaughtered them by the sword.
Mm-hmm.
Jezebel then threatens his life to make him like one of them, and he
takes off
running out of there, and he heads south, and he goes into the wilderness. He stops under a tree for a while, is fed by an angel, and then he makes the trip further into the wilderness to Horeb, the mountain of God, which is probably also Sinai. And that's where he meets the Lord God in the cave. And so this is a very familiar story.
At that point.
At this point, yeah. So God says, what are you doing here? And he gives his explanation. You know, I've been very zealous, and they've killed all the other prophets, but here I am, and they're seeking to kill me too. And then there's the great wind that splinters rocks. God's not in that. There's an earthquake. The Lord is not in the earthquake. And a fire, but the Lord is not in the fire. And then the sound of sheer silence, or the still small voice. And when Elijah hears that non-sound, he goes out to see the Lord. And the Lord asks him again, what are you doing here? And he gives exactly the same answer. So the Lord then gives him some work to do, which we don't read about. That's after the 15a. That's the second half of the verse and on from there. And Elijah doesn't actually do what he's told. He's told to go anoint a guy in Syria and anoint a guy in Israel, and then to anoint Elisha as his successor, and all he does is that third one. He goes and anoints Elisha. It's Elisha who goes on to
anoint
the other two.
Well, that's interesting.
Now, the other thing is that, you know, what is Elijah going through here after having killed 450 human beings? And so a little commentary from me, apart from the usual, I think that the wind and the earthquake and the fire are a parable for Elijah. Him. And I don't know where this fits into the intelligences, so I didn't put it anywhere. But I think that was God saying, destructive power? Yeah, I can do that, but I choose not to. I'm not in that. Because there's no place that says that Elijah was told by God to slaughter the prophets. So this is only coming up, I think, because of the shooting in Orlando that, for me anyway. That's just my thought on that, for what it's worth.
I think you're probably right. I think there's probably something to that. And I think there's probably a parable in it for us as well.
Yeah.
You know, that sometimes we get to the point where we think we need to do for God what God is not doing, what we think God should be doing. And so we go out and we make the earthquakes and the fire and the great windstorms, you know, however we choose to do that and be destructive. And then in the quiet, in the aftermath of that, that's when we hear God.
Yeah.
That's when God stands in the midst of all that destruction and says, what are you doing?
I think you're right. We do have a couple illustrations and special effects for you. We have an iSmart illustration, BodySmart both, and PeopleSmart illustration.
Starting with the iSmart illustration, again, the iSmart is the visual and spatial intelligence. And so haul out your map again, get an atlas, and take a look at where Elijah went. He started in Mount Carmel in the north of Israel. He went south through Beersheba into the Negev, the southern part of Israel, and then ended up in the Sinai Peninsula. So he went from the mountain to the valleys to the hills to the desert to the mountain, which is an interesting travel itinerary, which would probably be pretty cool to do, to see all the different changes in the landscape. But to get an idea of the spatial distance in that, I mean, you can look at that and you can look at the little marker they give you on the map, which I can never translate properly. So for putting it here in the United States, so it would be Washington, D.C. to Asheville, North Carolina, or Atlanta, Georgia to Daytona Beach, Florida, or New Orleans to College Station, Texas, El Paso, Texas to Durango, Colorado, Palm Springs to San Jose, the width of Wyoming. Wyoming's a big state.
Very big.
There is a lot of travel there. From Brussels to Munich in Europe, Aberdeen to Oxford, Sao Paulo to Catalao, Melbourne to Victor Harbor, Nairobi to Kakuma, Kenya. So there are some distances that you can look at on the map and overlay that. Elijah went a long way. But now we're going to go on to BodySmart, because to make that kind of a journey, you need some food.
Yeah. So for BodySmart, we're thinking about the physical effects of eating or not eating. And he fasted a bit and then went on the first part of the journey and then had this heavenly provided food and water for the second part.
Which is interesting, because his intention going to Beersheba was just to get away and hide. And it sounds like he was sort of just satisfied with that. And he didn't actually make the trip onto Mount Horeb until the angel said, eat this. You're going to need it for the trip you're about to go on.
Yeah. So the effects of eating, it's not just the nutrients from the food, but the renewed blood circulation that strengthens and revives the body. So it's a very long walk from Jezreel in the north to Beersheba. And then on to Mount Horeb, as we've mentioned. And that would be pretty brutal on the body just going that long. So thinking about that and thinking about, you know, going with a couple of bites of bread, you know, it must have been something to that bread.
Very likely.
What you might do for a special effect then is to talk with some distance runners in your congregation, and you probably have some folks who have done maybe a marathon or a half marathon even or whatever, or run on a regular basis. And how do they prepare for their running, and what does food do for them in their training? And think about that as a parallel to what Elijah is doing. You might also ask if there's anybody who has done some walking pilgrimage, like traveling on the Appalachian Trail or the Camino Santiago in France and Spain. What sort of training did they need for that kind of endurance walking, hiking? And what types of food supply did they take along on that journey? And if you don't have anybody who has done that you could talk to, there are movies and such. There's a movie called The Way, with Martin Sheen.
Yes,
that talks about the Camino and several others. And you can find those online to get some experience with that. And Wild, that came out not too long ago with Reese Witherspoon.
Oh yes, yes, right.
Similarly, so
right. For PeopleSmart, we have an illustration, and it comes from Jezebel's threat to Elijah. She essentially issues a death threat to him, and he is cowed by it and takes off. The illustration that we have is somebody who did the exact opposite. This is an article about a Russian journalist in American Journalism Review. This article is dated 1995, so it's a little old, but it's about the KGB. And about this journalist who was covering the KGB and the steps that she took to ensure that, you know, she was right out there. She was kind of upfront and almost in the KGB's face about the fact that she was covering them, so that if something were to happen to her, there is a record of it. So she was really pretty much defying any intimidation or any sort of coercion that the KGB would put upon her for the work that she was doing. I thought it was pretty interesting. And it's kind of a reversal of what Elijah did. Elijah, oh my gosh, well, look what I did. Jezebel's going to do that to me. And he took off. Maybe that was his own psyche trying to deal with that. But this Russian journalist was the exact opposite. You going to threaten me? I don't think so.
Okay, let's go on.
The epistle lesson for year C, ordinary 12, is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. Six very short verses, just a little bit of a chunk of a larger argument that Paul is making for the reason for why he is so surprised that the Galatians have gone back to the law. Remember, that's what he was saying in the first part of this letter, is I'm astonished that you're returning to this. I'm astonished that you're throwing away what I've taught you. And so here is he's reiterating what he had taught them previously about being imprisoned and guarded by the law. And that's going to come up later in what we're doing. So the law was a disciplinarian, and we were just sort of stuck underneath it until Jesus came. And then now we are justified by faith and by trusting in God through Jesus. We're no longer subject to a disciplinarian because now we're all God's children. And this is that section with that lovely famous verse, there's no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if we all belong to Christ, we're all Abraham's offspring and we're all heirs according to the promise. So we have a couple of offerings for this one as well. We have an illustration and a special effect in iSmart. We have a special effect in BodySmart, and we have an illustration in SelfSmart. So take it away, David.
Okay. For I, the image that Paul gives us is that the law is a pedagogue, which is not...
It's something that we ordinarily...
It's not a word that we throw around very often.
No.
And you think maybe a heavy-handed teacher, at least that's what comes to my mind. In looking it up, it turns out to be a servant who makes sure that the kids get to school and back, basically, and make sure that they do their lessons. Is that about right?
Yeah.
So the image that came to mind there is Jiminy Cricket with Pinocchio, that he's the conscience who's trying to make sure that Pinocchio gets to school and gets back, and that he learns his lessons. And it doesn't always go very well for him, of course.
Not for Pinocchio.
But that is his job, and that's sort of what Paul is suggesting the role of the law was for us, to try and keep us on course until we were done with school, which is when Christ came. And so there you go. And so if you don't know Jiminy Cricket, then all right, you need to do a little work on that. Get culturally relevant, would you? And you can follow the links that we've got for you to help it with that. For a special effect, looking at verse 28 that Molly referred to, there's neither Jew or Greek or slave or free or male or female. That called to mind the series of commercials that Android has been doing lately, Be Together, Not the Same. Hmm. And it's kind of a flip on what the passage says. It says we're all kind of the same. But I think when you read the other parts of Paul's writings, you come to understand that it's not that we lose identity, it's that we are unified in Christ, and the playing field is leveled.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, these commercials are really nice presentations of that idea of unity while maintaining identity.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a wonderful ideal.
It is. And I think it fits very well with the current situation that we've been talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have to wrangle it a little bit to get it to fit here. But in particular, there's a commercial with rock, paper, scissors which is kind of fun. And also the monotune piano.
I don't think I saw that one.
Oh, they have a fellow who comes in and he's playing I'm not sure what the piece is, but it's this very dramatic piano piece. It might be Schubert or something. I don't know. It's lots of scales and arpeggios and pounding on the piano. And then they've got a second piano with the 88 keys all tuned to middle C.
Oh, my goodness.
And he plays the same thing, and it's all the one note.
Oh, wow.
It's remarkable. It's really, really interesting. And then going back and forth. And so it'd be not, together.
Not the same.
Not the same.
Oh.
So, yeah. It's very
another
cool.
illustration of that. Of
yeah.
That
and idea. Then the third one is a series of animal pairs, animal friends of different species.
Aww.
Oh, it's adorable. Aww. It really is adorable. So, and they're all just frolicking and having a wonderful time and loving on each other.
I think I have seen that
and,
one, yes.
And it uses the music from Disney's Robin Hood.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Right. Uh-huh. And so another great commercial of transcending the differences.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we're going. So anyway, we have those, all of those, and we have a link to those commercials for you, and see what you can do with that.
For Body Smart, we have a special effect, which is based on verse 27, being clothed with Christ. This could be a lot of fun. Go get a really big t-shirt, either a white t-shirt or a light blue t-shirt, and on the front of it, write the word Christ in great big block letters so that anybody sitting in the back of the pew, which is where if you're a Presbyterian, everybody's sitting anyway, so that they can see it. And when you talk about being clothed with Christ, just pull it on over the top of whatever it is that you're wearing, because you're being clothed with Christ. Ha ha! Give it a shot. It's fun.
And tied in with that is the idea that if we are clothed with Christ, then we share an identity with Christ. And so going to our self-smart, what would it be like to take on another person's identity? And not necessarily, we might think identity theft here, but maybe just what would it be like to imagine yourself, let's start with that, in someone else's identity? So what would it be like to take on their behavior, their mindset, their mannerisms?
Do you have any actors in your congregation? That might be a good way to get at that. What do they do to prepare for a role?
Yeah, that would be excellent. So there you go. There's a little special effect thrown Ta-da! In there we just came up with on the spot. So try imagining that. And you know, what if it's somebody of a different gender from you, or a different ethnic group, or
a different physical ability. A
physical ability, or socioeconomic class.
Mm-hmm.
So empathizing with that other person and identifying, literally identifying with them. And then what if it was Jesus that you were taking on and identifying with him, doing as he would do?
Hmm.
And so then you have the opportunity to explore what might happen if we practice that more often, not only with Jesus, but with others.
People.
With others. And would that increase the empathy and the peace in our world, maybe? I'd like to think.
Yeah, me too.
The gospel lesson for the 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time, year C, is Luke 8. Verses 26 through 39, where Jesus heals the Gerasene demoniac. This comes right after the story of Jesus calming the storm on the sea. And as they reach the other side of the Sea of Galilee, they are in the country of the Gerasenes. And he is met by a demoniac. And they have, you know this story, for heaven's sake. They have an interaction,
pigs get tossed over.
Pigs
a cliff.
Get drowned, and
there goes the bacon.
So this is the legion of demons. For many had entered him, and Jesus gives them leave to go into the herd of swine that's nearby. They rush into the lake, and the swineherds run off, bring the people back from town, who are terrified by what they find. that the guy is
in his right
mind. I'm not sure why that's terrifying, but there it is. And so they beg him.
That's a good question. Why would that be terrifying?
I don't know. Well, that's for the preachers to figure out, I guess. And so
when you figure it out, let us know.
Leave us a message on that. Yeah. And so they beg Jesus to leave, and he sends the former demoniac out to proclaim what God has done, and he goes and proclaims what Jesus has done. Mm. So we have for you Body Smart Illustration and Special Effect, People Smart Special Effect, and Self Smart Illustration.
For Body Smart, we're looking particularly at the man himself and the effects of what this condition he was in, what it did to his body. You know, it's remarkable that it was kind of ironic that he could break iron shackles that the people had put him in to kind of constrain him and control him. And then because he was bound by demons. So he's bound by iron shackles and demons, but the demons give him strength to break the shackles. And then the demons themselves are broken by the word of Jesus spoken to them. So there's a lot of breaking going on there. And a lot of intriguing questions about what physically is going on. Where does he get all of this strength? David found a link about adrenaline and the body-mind disconnect between adrenaline, that when adrenaline pumps into your body, you can ignore a great deal of signals from your body to your brain saying, hey, stop. Hey, ow. Hey, quit. again, you'll go back to the distance runners and the endurance athletes, the adrenaline and the endorphins that are coursing through their body. It kind of tends to numb the brain. And so you're not really aware of the damage that's being done to your body until, you know, you collapse. WebMD also has some information about the physical effects of untreated depression, thinking in terms of mental illness. How that affects your body. The not necessarily saying this man was affected with depression. Maybe one of those legions of demon was depression.
Could be.
But the mind and the body are definitely connected, and this man's body was probably as altered as his spirit was. Mm. So explore that a little bit. There's definitely a mind-body-soul connection going on in this man. And Jesus reacts specifically to that. And maybe that's what's terrifying to the people when they come back, because they don't recognize him.
Mm.
They don't recognize, who is this guy? Oh my gosh, it's him.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Yeah. Indeed. Yeah.
For a special effect for Body Smart, find a volunteer who is willing to do this, and give this person a 5-pound weight to hold in each hand. Maybe more, you know, depending on the size of your volunteer, and just ask them to stand there and hold those weights for about 15 minutes or so.
Just down at their sides, or
however, or up, I would say however they want to. You can have them out to the side is really tough.
Yeah.
Maybe kind of propped a little bit, sort of bent elbows a touch. But anyway, just hold on to those weights for 15 minutes. The idea is to have weight on their body for a certain amount of time. And then after the amount of time has passed, take the weights away, release them from their weight, and ask them how they feel, not just physically. You know, they might say, oh, I feel lighter, and thank heaven I can do that now. But ask them how they feel mentally. Hmm. Ask them how they feel spiritually.
Hmm. Hmm. Interesting. For People Smart, the central emotion that seems to be running through the characters in this text is fear. People are afraid of the demoniac when he is under control of the demons. The demons are afraid of Jesus. The swineherds, it doesn't say specifically that they're afraid of what happens, but good chance that maybe they are.
Well, they might be afraid of what the owners of the herd are going to do to them.
Perhaps that. And then the people are afraid of the healed demoniac and of Jesus. But Jesus is cool in the midst of all of this. And it's coming off a story where Jesus and the disciples were on the water within a storm, and the disciples were terrified. Yeah. And Jesus is like, cool.
Chill.
Yeah.
I got this.
So lots of people in our communities, in our nation, in our world, are really afraid in these days, afraid of others, afraid of guns, afraid of not having guns, afraid of terrorists, afraid of not having enough, all sorts of things, afraid of change. I don't know what all, everything. And so get your folks together to talk with each other about what happens when people are afraid. How does it change their behavior individually and as groups? And how does that compare with God's intention? Is there anything about Jesus that might help overcome their fears and those attendant behaviors?
So maybe one of the things that you can that might come out of the conversation in PeopleSmart is something for self-smart. How do you behave when you are afraid? Do you ever push God away when you're afraid? And what helps you get past fear? Does God's recurring message in Scripture, "Don't be afraid," make any kind of difference for you? That might be some interesting questions to explore, and maybe it might help us to get beyond our fear of the other and maybe our anger at what's happening. We can only hope.
We hope and pray.
That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or our Facebook page, facebook.com/morethanhearing. Or you can send us a tweet at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe you even got an idea that you like better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Be sure to look at the show notes, the links, and the resources on our website. We publish our worksheets on each text, so you can see some of our ideas that don't make it into the podcast. They could be helpful and maybe give you a spark. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes, or point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can find us on the iTunes store too, and you can subscribe directly there. And while you're there, why not write a review? And also share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another installment next week. So in the meantime, stay subscribed
and be smart.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.